All right, we're going to go ahead and continue with our post-race press conferences here in Chicago. We've now been joined by our race-winning team crew chief, Blake Harris and Jeff Gordon. Thank you both for joining us. Congratulations on the win. Just in the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and just open for questions. If you have a question, just state who the question is for, please, and we'll get started with Zach up front.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Blake, first for you, the decision to keep Alex on the wet tires, what went into that from your perspective? And as the crew chief, having the option all day to decide which tire you were going to choose, how did that impact how you called this race?
Yeah, I think it was really tough at the beginning, right? When we didn't know, it was a little bit of rain coming, that was probably the harder portion of the day, trying to understand how much it would rain and if we were okay to be back on slicks or not. But really at the end, we knew we needed to run through stage two. We kind of tore our car up a little bit, so I was concerned if it went full dry, like aero-wise, we might, you know, struggle a little bit to keep pace. Not a lot of fast spots on this track, but I do think it means something. We had a pretty good hole in the nose, and the splitter was pretty torn up. So really, we had kind of made our opinion if we were in a good spot to pick up stage points today, you know, that we would take them. And really, as the clock was winding down, you're like, all right, well, there's not, you know, if I plant us back in 20th or 25th here, we're not going to have the rest of stage three to make it up, which was kind of what we had looked at the beginning of the race. So, yeah, I just asked them, like, our threshold, we kind of had a number based on pace of where we thought it would be, and it was getting really close to the end of that stage. And I knew, you know, a lot of guys would take slicks. I thought maybe a few more would stay out in front of us. So I think as far as just the 60 staying out in front of us, that was kind of perfect scenario for us. And really thought after a couple laps, we were a lot better than him. And yeah, just the cautions, you know, caution played perfect, right? I don't know that we had a lot of room to give. Even if the 45 had a clean lap there, it would have been super tight. So yeah, really just banking off that threshold of what we thought it was going to be. And that was our opportunity to win, was staying out. And we kind of discussed that. And once I had his confidence of knowing that that's what we needed to do as well, it made my call pretty easy.
All right, we're going to go to Bob and then Holly and Nate. Go ahead, Bob.
Bob Packers, Fox Sports for Jeff. What do you hope this does for Alex? I mean, has 11 top 10s, is second in the series, but yet he hadn't won in so long. A lot of people questioning whether he could do it.
You know, it's so important. These guys work so hard. And you get to, you know, certainly I get to spend time with guys like Blake, and you see him come in to Hendrick Motorsports, and there's a lot of pressure and expectations there. And so that's the same way for Alex and all the drivers. And so it's important that, you know, you gel and the chemistry comes and the effort's there, but you got to win. At some point, you got to win, not just because you're at Hendrick Motorsports, it's because, you know, it's really hard to get the team where they need to be to compete at the highest level on a regular basis, make the playoffs, then compete at a high level in the playoffs without victories coming to just remind everybody that we're doing the right things and we're working in the right direction and you know, we're working well together. So, yeah, I think today was a huge day for both of these guys and the whole team. And I couldn't be more proud or happy for the whole group because you know, I know what kind of pressure that they've been feeling, and it's amazing for all of us now, you know, to have all four cars in the playoffs. And it's probably a bit of a reset now, right? Of okay, that weight just keeps getting heavier and heavier every week, and I think it just makes it harder and harder. And then they come in here and get asked a lot of questions. So I'm sure for both of them, it's nice to have this one off their back and then just start focusing forward on you know, getting where they need to be in the playoffs.
Speaking of pressure, it'd be nice if this race could go without rain, but I'm curious, how do you feel about this event overall and whether it should remain on the schedule?
Well, I don't know about you, but I saw a huge number of upgrades and improvements this weekend from just learning things from last year. And so I felt like the overall experience for everybody was a really, really good one. Again, the weather was good all weekend until today. And yeah, you want to have good weather, and that's important for an event. But at the same time, I mean, other than for the fans and the competitors that, you know, are soaking wet and having to deal with the pressures that you know, Blake and the crew chiefs and the drivers are having because those are tricky conditions. I mean, those are really challenging conditions. And, you know, you're going and you're stopping, you're slowing down. It's just hard to get into a rhythm, but not to mention just finding the grip if you're you know, a driver trying to figure out where the line is and how to manage the tires and everything else. But, you know, other than those things, I think from a fan perspective watching at home or where I was sitting in a drier place, it makes for a great show. You know, you like on a road course, in my opinion, a drying track versus, you know, a dry track going to wet. And I mean, at the beginning of the race, I was blown away that they were able to be on slicks. When these guys came in and put the slicks on, you know, I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, no way, it's too early, it's too wet. And they got heat in the tires and the tires stuck. And so they, you know, put on a great show. And then at the end, I thought, no way can you stay out on tires and win this thing. And that they did. So, I mean, I thought other than just running out of time and not being able to get the full race in and having to stop, it's a really entertaining event. And I hope it does stay on the circuit. I think this is a very important race for us because as I'm walking around the city yesterday and today, it's hearing people that, you know, are saying, oh, the NASCAR race is here, you know, and you can just tell that there are people that are here, even in the hotels and in the restaurants, that they know that NASCAR is here. They know that there's a race happening here. And a lot of those folks maybe never watched NASCAR before. So it's a great way for me to not only show that we're capable of racing in locations like this and right in the center of a major metropolitan city, which is an important part of the market, but an exposure, but it's also opening up the door to a lot of new fans. So I not only hope we continue to come back here, I hope we can try to experiment with this in other places too.
All right, Holly, and then Nate. Go ahead, Holly.
Well, that was pretty much what my question was, Josh.
Holly, you know, I saw it. I was looking at you, and I just knew that you were going to ask
it.
That.
You took it. From that standpoint, though, you've been in the sport a while. You know, having a street race, doing something this unique, I mean, would you have even anticipated this 10 years ago and you know, for it to be able to have the success that it did?
Well, I go back to when I got a chance to see the sport take off, right, and just become huge, and it was taking risks, taking chances, going to new places, you know, going to Indianapolis, right? And those things happen because people are willing to take chances and do bold things. And you know, that's what you have to do to continue to grow a sport. Or, you know, if you've gotten into a lull, how to bring it back out of it. And so I think these types of moves are very, very important. And I look forward to seeing what, you know, even though the Clash, I'm not crazy about, you know, that I love that we were in a new market. It was different. There was a DJ and music, and you know, it felt very entertaining to be a part of it, especially for the fans that were there. So continuing to explore things like that, I know it's got to make financial sense for everybody too, but I think that's very, very important to where the sport's heading and not just in this country. Yeah.
All right, Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. I have one for each. I'll start with you, Blake. So everybody's talking about this as Alex Bowman's ending an 80-race winless streak, but for you, this is your first win after 85 races as a Cup crew chief. So how does it feel to win a Cup race?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I've got the words for it yet. Thought about it a lot. We've, you know, over the last year and a half, we've been in position to win some races, and we just haven't got there. And as Jeff said, you know, you go in every week, no matter kind of what's been thrown at us or things that happen, you know, or where we're at in point scenarios, there's no better answer than getting the win, right? And you feel, at least for myself, I go in all the guys and I tell them, you know, put the pressure on me, let's go to work, you do your job, we're going to get it done. Eventually got to deliver on that, right? And I think they've delivered a lot, and it was nice to finally be able to, you know, deliver the win. I mean, we've got a young team. We got a young pit crew, a young road crew that we've been working really hard on and building. And I mean, I think I got like 6 or 7 guys on this team that it's their first time to ever be in victory lane in the Cup Series. So that's a big deal. Like, they got to know what it feels like. And it's important to know what it feels like now so that once we're in the playoffs, it's not new, right? It's not building pressure of what's been in the past, right? They know what it looks like now. So super excited to get the monkey off the back. Really excited for Alex. I thought he drove a heck of a race today. I mean, I felt like we had speed all weekend. And it feels really good.
And Jeff, going back to what you were saying about, you know, there's pressure to win, not just at Hendrick, but just period in the Cup Series. I don't know if you heard Alex's NBC interview, but you know, he mentioned the brain injury from 2 years ago. He mentioned the broken back last year. He sounded like a huge weight was off his shoulders, and he sounded like a guy who basically saved his job. So I know we don't deal in rumors and speculation. We don't like talking about that, but there's been a lot of chatter. How far does this win go toward maybe shoring up his long-term future, or securing him at Hendrick?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody recognized, one, you know, he's been great. I mean, he's put in all the effort. He's done all the right things. I mean, Blake, you know, coming on board had a lot to do with Alex and their relationship and who he thought could be the right fit for him. And you know, they've done a great job together. But it hasn't come without challenges. He's been through a lot. And you know, you really want guys like that to find their way when they've had to struggle, and have, you know, just seems like right as he's getting into a stride, boom, something would happen. And so I think that's why this is so important, you know, not just for him, you know, and the team, but for him personally. As far as, you know, we're concerned, Ally loves him and we love him. He's a car guy, and you know, there's a reason why he came to Hendrick Motorsports, and he's proven that he can win. And then today was not an easy set of circumstances, and he proved, you know, he can win in these tough conditions as well on a road course. So you know, I understand why people want to talk, and you know, it's a tough business. And when you're at Hendrick Motorsports, you know, you do expect, especially when the other three have won, to be in that same category, and it hasn't been happening. So hopefully this dispels a lot of the rumors.
All right, we're going to go to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This kind of question for both of you is, what has it been like, you mentioned a little bit, but what has it been like for Alex over these past, you know, 2 years, which has been like one setback after another?
Yeah, I'll go. I started talking to these guys about coming there right around the time or right after his concussion, right? And we were kind of in the middle of working all that out. And, you know, I wasn't there with him day in, day out, but, you know, we were kind of working towards, you know, me being hired there while he was in the middle of that. So certainly got to come in on the backside of, you know, kind of him getting better and all those things from that. And, you know, we started off leading the points, right? Like when I came in 23, like we were putting really good races together. We had really good runs going, and then he had a sprint car accident, right? And that setback, I know for him personally, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like he came in and he's like, man, we're leading points and I let everybody down. And I don't think that's the case. You know, we came back and had some shots throughout the season that just never materialized. And, you know, I think when I talked about before getting the win for the team, as Jeff mentioned, getting the win for him, right? And just, you know, he knows we've had speed to do it a lot. And we've had a lot of times. I mean, we didn't get 11 top 10s and put ourselves in position for a lot more top fives than we've had and a few shots at the win by not having speed. So I think the speed's been there. You know, we had an engine failure at Loudon, and, you know, we had an engine failure here last year at Chicago. And, you know, he as we talk through those things, he's like, man, you know, right as we're in this point battle, and I was like, man, we're one race away from that not mattering. I was like, in last year, I mean, we didn't show up with a speed week in, week out like we've had. And that's been the biggest difference for me. So each week that we've had something thrown at us, we reset, look at the next challenge, what we have the next week ahead. And somehow, you know, I feel like he's done a really good job through all the things that he's had to kind of compartmentalize week to week and just the next task at hand. And honestly, that red flag for us was probably the best thing today after we cleared the 23 out and tore our car up. He's all bummed because he knew how good our car was. And I was like, man, that's what we got now. Like, we're 12th, we're not 20th, right? So let's regroup and go at it. And really, I think the way today worked out has kind of been how, you know, our entire time has been together. It's like just on to the next. So really excited for him. I'm glad he had the opportunity to kind of throw it back on his shoulders there at the end. And, and get it done, right? Like, I mean, he drove some phenomenal laps there at the end, and if he doesn't do that, that 45 gets to us pretty easily, I think.
All right, we're going to go Cole, and then Cole. Go ahead, Kelly, you're right there.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Apologies if this was asked already. Blake, can you talk about, unlike last year, NASCAR gave the teams plenty of notice of when this race was going to end. Can you walk us through how you felt about when you got that confirmation of when the race was going to end and how that played into how then you called the rest of the race?
Yeah, NASCAR told us this year that before the race even started, like, hey, we're going to give you at a set amount of time, it'll be before the first stage, like when we're going to say, okay, the time limit's up, right? So instantly from that point when we had that number, your engineers are running like, hey, you know, especially when we got into that red flag, like we think it's going to end if it stays green at this point, right? So then you got to throw in the, you know, the dry pace, the wet pace, as the wet pace is getting closer to the dry pace, like, you know, what's that looking like? So, you know, I think I talked a little bit about that threshold that we had set number of when we thought we were going to have to be back to dry tires. And there was a couple cautions there before the end of stage two that really set that up for us to know like, okay, man, we could probably get a bunch of stage points here at a minimum. And then as those cautions kept coming, we got to that stage. It's like, wait a second, we like 8-10 laps here to go. We're still not to my number on lap time. Like there's a chance. If there's a caution or two, there's a chance. And so, yeah, I think that them giving us a heads up on that's a huge deal. Like, you know, the ability to choose the tires, right? Like we go immediately wet, you choose when it's dry. I know it probably didn't make Jeff real comfortable here as he mentioned on the choices we made, but yeah, I think just putting it in our hands lets us put some strategy out there. Right. And, you know, I think from where I stand, it's great to have a few different, you know, ways to go about it. I 100% thought coming to get slicks was the right choice, and I didn't feel like we could short the stage because our car was torn up. And really, with 8 or 10 laps, I knew it was going to take, you know, some perfect laps. I mean, at that point, we still had to go get the lead, right? But I felt, you know, pretty confident we were a good chunk better than that 60 car, and yeah, just enough.
All right, we're going to go Cole, and then we'll try to wrap with a few additional questions. James, I've got one right behind you. And then I know I have one in the back. Go ahead.
Cole Kusmano with Arizona Republic. This one's for Blake. This is your second year with Alex, obviously. It's been well documented how 2023 was a really challenging year for him, not just on the track, but maybe even more so personally off the track. And I'm sure you got to know him on a deeper level in that sense. So I'm curious, just speaking on Alex as a person, how important was this win for him and I guess for the team going forward in that regard?
Yeah, I think as a whole, you know, I felt like we had a pretty good relationship early on, right? I mean, that's part of, I mean, I felt like Alex had a big say in my ability to come to Hendrick Motorsports, right? And so going into that, I knew, you know, he kind of picked me. Like, I was his guy, and we, you know, we go to the Chili Bowl at the same time, hang out. You know, I pop into his shop when he's working on his midgets. Like, all that stuff's really easy, so the relationship side's easy. You know, I think you have to have, when we have those bad weekends, when stuff's not going right, whether for him personally or on track or whatever we have, like, you know, we just have to be honest with each other. We come back and like, you know, hey buddy, I don't know that we executed this correctly, or hey man, I didn't make the right call there. Like if I had that back, I'd love to do it differently. And I mean, we do that really in an open setting with all our teams. I mean, you know, we sit down with the crew chiefs and some of the management. I mean, Jeff's there, the Jeffs and Chad, and you know, we talk about that stuff through, you know, every race, good or bad. And unfortunately, there was more bad for us at times than good. But what I can't say enough about, and I've tried to explain to some guys, you know, and I mean it. Like, I walk into that shop every day, and anytime I have any kind of one-on-one with Jeff or Chad or whatever, Mr. H, the only question I ever get is, what can we do to help the 48 win? Like, it's never like, oh, why'd you make that call, or why'd you do? Like that's on to the next, right? And really, I think that it's been that way for Alex and myself both, right? So, I mean, we've got 600 people that kind of wrap your arms around you every week. And every time you think you're kind of in the weeds, they pull you out. And, you know, to have that kind of support with the pressure that we have just, you know, makes it doable, right? Like you you fight every week, and when it's not going your way, when you can look all these guys in the eyes and know that they've got your back and willing to do whatever it takes to get the last car in the playoffs, and I can't say enough, you know, incredible organization. I truly feel like I got a lot of people around me and behind me every day, and that's how it's doable.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, Tim Healy from The Truth About Cars. So this one's for Blake. When I talked to Alex yesterday, he basically said that logistically this race is difficult for you just because of the setting. How do you deal with that? And as things went on, obviously it turned out really well for you. So how did you sort of adjust, and do you sort of feel the same way as Alex did?
Logistically, I think, you know, there's a lot of challenges that come with this place in general, and a lot of it just kind of comes from the fact that we don't have enough data here, right? Like everything we do is built off of data, right? Like we'll take this last race and be like, okay, now we've seen two versions of a wet track and a drying track and all that, and we'll kind of build our notes off all that. I don't know. To me, obviously it was a great weekend, but you know, back to some of the relationship stuff with Alex and the logistics. Hendrick Motorsports put us up in some phenomenal spots here in the city, and we get like a 15, 20 minute walk in, and Alex stayed with us in the team hotel this week. So, I mean, we got here, I think we come into the garage maybe 3-4 hours before the track walk, and we were going to do the track walk together, and we go drop our bags at the hotel, we walk down to the track, garage opens, we're going through tech, he's right there. Like, we were still trying to get through tech, so he went and did the track walk without me. But, you know, every morning we walk in and grab a coffee together. And, you know, I love this place. I love, you know, everything about it. I think, you know, we're super fortunate to have what we have at HMS and how we get set up. But, man, just being able to walk through the city and I, you know, we didn't have to deal with it was really nice weather when we were doing that. You know, I love it. I love everything about it.
All right, we're going to take a question in the back. I think I have two in the back, and then we're going to come up front and take our final question from Matt Weaver. Go ahead.
Samuel Stubbs, yardbarker.com. This question's kind of for both of you. Oh, right back here. But Alex won four races in 2021, and then he had injuries in both 2022 and 2023. And I remember Denny Hamlin, whenever he had his injury about a decade ago, he said that it took about a year before he felt like he was fully comfortable back in the car. Do you think Alex is at that point physically where he's, you know, finally 100% and he's showing that he's that same driver that went out and was a weekly contender for the win, you know, a few years ago?
I mean, I can only speak to the, you know, some of the comments or the conversations I've had with Alex over the years when he's had the injuries. But, you know, I think because I had some cracked ribs one time, so I'm just trying to compare some things. But you know, I think race car drivers, they come up and they have accidents, and sometimes you have injuries, and you find out how tough you are, you know, mentally and physically, and how bad you want to do it. And so, you know, Alex has been through a few significant injuries. And he's come back, I feel like, stronger each time. Like, I think it's helped him, you know, motivate himself, find out how much he loves what he does and is privileged to do that. And you know, that means that he's got to work really hard to recover. And yet, I think through that, of course, I think you're going to have some setbacks. Just being away from your team, even for a week or 2 weeks, you know, not being out there on the track, I think affects drivers these days. I mean, we saw something similar with Chase Elliott, you know, when he was out of the car. And it's not always necessarily the physical piece of it. It's just, this is tough. It's just hard to win, very hard to win. And the cars are difficult to drive. And you know, it's hard to get the whole team all together at the perfect time, and for it all to come together and the right strategy and everything. It's very difficult. So you add in then an injury or some of the significant injuries, you know, that Alex has had to deal with. It's gonna set you back, and it's gonna take some time to get back to 100%, not just physically, but with your team.
All right, go ahead.
Noah Poser, Northwestern. This is for Jeff. You guys now have four drivers with wins on road or street courses. How does that affect preparation for these races, and how much confidence does it give the organization as you arrive at these types of tracks moving forward?
You meant that's for Blake, right? I think you need to take that one. Man, I'm out of that side of the business. I sit in on the meetings, so they know I have their back, and if there's something that pops up that I think I can contribute to, I do, but it's pretty rare. So that is not my category right now. Go ahead, Blake.
Yeah, I can touch on that. Even before I got here with the next-gen car, I thought HMS has done a great job with the road course program. I mean, they've had several guys in contention. I mean, Alex was in contention at COTA in 22 and arguably had a shot to win that on the last lap. So I can just speak to it from the crew chief side. I mean, I know Jeff sees, you know, a couple meetings a week when we do it all together, but, man, we meet almost every day as a group, and, you know, we go and we're done with the last road course and we lay it all out, and, like, we just step through, you know, the stuff that how we came up with the setups and where we're going to the next place and what we think is applicable. And really, I mean, it's been the most open group setting that I've ever been in. And, you know, I mean, we're racing each other hard a lot, right? And at the end of the day, I mean, one of those guys is right behind us at the end. I'm pretty nervous, right? Because I know what they've got. And but yeah, I just think, you know, as we've progressed, man, really, really good guys to work with. And I just think collectively with our performance group and our engineers and our crew chiefs and everybody really pulling the same direction with a really good, you know, baseline of what we've had, it feels like we just continue to build on that. And yeah, we just work through it together.
I guess what I could add to that is I've seen that evolve tremendously over the years. We didn't used to all sit in a room together and share information and just be an open book. I can remember the times where it was like, well, it's in the database, just go find it. But these guys, you know, the way they communicate, the way that they support one another, meaning crew chiefs, drivers, engineers, the whole group, and you know, just constantly trying to push the envelope. How do we make our, you know, our individual team better, but how do we make the whole organization better? And as well as work with our partners at Chevrolet. So, you know, that's been fun to watch. But I think at Hendrick Motorsports, what, you know, makes me really proud is the detail and the depth of the organization and the way that they get to go take on a challenge. So when you have a new racetrack like this, that's a challenging street course with a lot of the unknowns and not the data and no testing or anything like that, then I love to watch them go to work on how they prepare for something like that and go excel at it. And if they don't, you know, how much that motivates them to make sure that they do the next time they go back. And I think that's pretty much anywhere they go, that's a new setting, new environment, and has been for many years.
All right, Matt, final question.
Matt Weaver, Sports Not for Blake. On one hand, I feel like it was a really easy decision to stay out because the only chance to win the race was to be in a very defensive position. But then I think about it, kind of looking back, you guys are in a points battle too, and if it goes poorly, and whether defending, you guys get crashed or tire blows or whatever, then that's your points margin. Or if someone else wins the race, you're out that way too. So what all is factoring into that decision? Because I know that you and Alex are going back and forth even in real time about those sort of things.
Yeah, I preach to all my guys a lot every week. I'm like, man, you know, don't worry about this. Got to make the playoffs and all these things. Like, you just go attack the next thing, right? Like, we're just going to go do the next stop, the next hang, whatever it is, you know, to try to pull some pressure off those guys. But, you know, to be honest, like, you get down to these last 7-8 races and you're looking at that cut line, you know, I think we've been strong enough and we have the pace where I'm like, man, you know, if we do a really good job and don't have any big setbacks, I mean, we could legit, you know, be 8th, 9th in points, which maybe is good enough to get there, right? So it's kind of in the back of the mind. It's like, man, if I got a legit shot to win the race, we got to do it, right? But if it's a slim chance and I got to bleed 15, 20 points, like, that's going to be hard, you know, a hard sell too. So, you know, at the end there, once I knew I had his confidence of understanding, like, hey, man, we're going to have to go back in the 20s here, and how many cars are you going to pass in like 8-9 laps? Like, I mean, if he was like, man, that's what we got to do because I'm smoked in here, right? But he knew where his tires were at. Like, he knew the pace that he was running, and I kind of tried to lay out what I was seeing and, you know, what I thought was going to happen. And really, especially with that caution, right? I mean, even without that caution, I knew we were going to have 3 laps maybe before those guys would really get some pace up on us if it strung out. So, you know, that really only left 3-4 laps of potential green based on the time limit. So, really, yeah, it was an easy decision. I mean, if he thought his stuff was smoked, you know, we'd probably had to have a conversation about, you know, where we were going to be. But, man, all those buffer cars just played in perfect, right? And I think his confidence of knowing he could go get that 60 car and get some space put on him, that was all of it, right? Because, I mean, I think it was going to be last down to the last 2 or 3 corners if the 45 hadn't gotten to the fence. So, yeah, we needed every bit of that, every, you know, straightaway that he had, pull over, cooling the tires as he's at speed, trying to keep those things to temp. Yeah, I don't know that you could execute it any better.
Thank you. All right. Jeff and Blake, congratulations to you both. Thank you again for spending time with us.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and now be joined by our race winner of today's Chicago.